You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
KXNO Des Moines. From the Lithia Body and Paint Sports Desk, powered by BMW of Des Moines, this is an X's and O's update on 1460 KXNO.
And I'm Trent Condon. This year's continued for the Iowa State men's basketball team as they fell on the road to West Virginia last night, 90-75.
Haley, using the screen from Culver, backs up and shoots the three. That's a Matthews three. Got it over the rim and in. For a three from McKay. Ball movement and a three by Napper. Nothing but Nets.
The call from ESPNU. The Cyclones fall to 9-8 in Big 12 play. They finish off the season with Texas Tech in Hilton on Saturday. Tonight, the Iowa Hawkeyes go on the road as they face 21st-ranked Wisconsin in Madison. Tonight, the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament gets started. 6 o'clock, Indiana State against Valpo. 8:30, Illinois State, Evansville. The winner of that takes on Drake tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Tonight on 1460 KXNO, it's the Class 4A semifinals as Waukee face Dubuque Senior. 8:15 tip on KXNO.
This is Iowa State Athletics Director Jamie Pollard, and you're listening to Des Moines Sports Station 1460 KXNO.
All right, welcome back, Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station 1460 KXNO, with you for the next hour. Andrew Lowe coming up bottom of the hour, just slightly past Mark Morehouse prior to that, Cedar Rapids Gazette. Been a while since we've spoken with Mark, and we will try and do that. We will do that here in about 15 minutes or thereabouts. Trent, real quick, just one note, and I don't want to get into who's better, who's the GOAT, LeBron, Michael, blah, blah, blah. I think it's a ridiculous argument. Everybody's got their guy. If Brinson was in the room, he'd be jumping up and down about Wilt.
Thank God I don't have to deal with that.
Yeah, but he's a good... I mean, we both loved our time with Jimmy B.
Well, love's a strong word.
Okay, it was different.
It was different, yes. That's a kind way to put it.
Yes, he's a character.
That he is.
But he would be jumping up and down for Wilt. But, you know, the LeBron thing and who had better players around him, etc., those, I guess, are the arguments, and then it comes down to the rings. Why can't we just appreciate them both?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right, yes. They're different players. Uh-huh. They're different kind of players. Well, Michael got there six times and won all six. Well, what about the times he didn't get there?
Mm-hmm.
You take that away. Losing in the Eastern Conference Finals, isn't that worse than losing in the finals?
Yeah, I mean, they didn't get the job done. So,
right. But they had to go through the Pistons to get there.
Eh? Right.
With argument after argument, there's no right answer.
There isn't. And by the way, I hate to wish my life away. I'm not. But that series that ESPN is putting together, that 10-part miniseries or whatever it is, next year, oh my God, it's going to be, at least of what they've showed us so far, it's got a chance to be. You know, it's got a chance to be. It's got a chance to be so good that we will devote time the day after talking about it on sports radio airwaves.
I don't think there's any doubt. Yeah.
Well, it's the right time of year. I'm hoping they're going to put it out in the summer, right? Or certainly not or in the spring, so it would be very conducive to being a talker, but that's going to be absolutely outstanding. All right, a couple of minutes, Trent, with you on the Missouri Valley Conference. By the way, the WHO vehicle, if you seen some of the pictures from the road to St. Louis, the WHO guys got in a wreck, a five-car pileup.
Oh, no.
I mean, everybody's fine.
Yeah.
Apparently. Murphy, Keith tweeted that out, that on their way down, they got Justin Cerency, I guess, was, I don't know if he was driving, but he was in the car, him and the Photog making their way down there, which kind of, you know, expanding it further, Drake fans making the trip today. Might be a good idea to wait till tomorrow. I mean, if you're going on the diagonal, and I guess let's the route that they took, it's not good. I mean, look what it is outside.
It is blizzard-like conditions. If you're stuck in your cubicle and can't look outside right now, listen to us online at KXNO.com. It's rough out there.
And we're supposed to get freezing rain on top of this afternoon.
Oh, great.
So you have to. Oh, you've got a game tonight.
I got a game tonight, yeah. We got Waukee in the semifinals against Dubuque Senior. 8:15 tip. Emery Songer is going to be my color guy tonight.
Is he? Now, I'm helping Emery out at the bottom of the hour on his horse racing podcast.
Yes,
I just got
that.
Tapped to do that, so happy to do it. So tell me about, because I hardly follow it, but I saw the 16-14 halftime to it.
Yes.
What's going on there? That's awful.
It wasn't what we've seen in the past. Ball on the hip.
Right.
Waiting for the defense to come out.
Right.
Running clock. It wasn't that. It was good defense. It was good defense.
Or poor shooting.
That too. But both teams played well defensively. And Dowling Catholic under O'Connor for the last decade plus that he's been there, that's their calling card. They're a good defensive team. Mm-hmm. They're going to be physical with you. And they took Waukee out of what they wanted to do. So I think more than anything, that was... But even in the next quarterfinal, and I watched the Iowa City West against Dubuque Senior, that was 39-36.
Wow.
A shot clock is not going to help that much. It's not like all of a sudden...
So this wasn't the case of 16-14. Right. Well, that's good to know, because that was the first thing that popped into my head.
Yes, it's not going to be some great elixir. Now, the problem you get into, a couple years back when Valley was in the semifinals, overtime, hold the ball for 4 minutes, wait for one shot, miss it, overtime number two, hold the ball for one shot. Right. When you see that, that's
atrocious.
That's the cries for a shot clock when they're necessary. It wasn't really a shot clock thing more than anything. I think it was more just defense and a bad shooting morning for them. Waukee's going to have to play a lot better than they did yesterday, though, to beat this Dubuque Senior team.
So you don't give them a chance?
They got a chance. There's no doubt. They're going to have to play better. They're going to have to play better, I think, on both ends of the floor. Noah Carter, who's on his way to UNI, 6'5", big guy for them, thick body, can shoot three-pointers for Dubuque Senior. That's going to be fun to watch him against Dylan Jones for Waukee. Should be a good one tonight, the late one. I might be sleeping at the well tonight.
So you're not there tomorrow, though, are you?
Well, I'll be there tomorrow night for the championship with Waukee.
Yeah, so if Waukee wins, we'll carry that game on 1460 KXNO. If they get beat, you're done?
Yes, correct, with play-by-play cover. Still updates all throughout. Norwalk still live. They play this afternoon at 2 o'clock. Van Meter got knocked off last night. They'll have their consolation game coming up, but overall, yeah, the play-by-play coverage will finish up if Waukee gets knocked off tonight.
All right, so the Valley Tournament is about to get underway. Well, not about to get underway. We'll get underway tonight at 6 o'clock in St. Louis. The game that I would anticipate we'll pay some attention to, because it's the late game as well, right? So Iowa plays Wisconsin at 6. Mm-hmm. Game 2 tonight is the game will features the game whose winner will take on Drake. Am I right?
Evansville, Illinois
State. Illinois State. And obviously you want Evansville, but you're probably not going to get Evansville.
Illinois State, the much more talented team. They swept Evansville this year. A team that was also tied in those standings in that middle muck of the MVC. That was also there at 9-9. The tiebreaker just didn't go their way. And in terms of talent, short of Loyola, this is probably the second most talented team in the conference in Illinois State.
The seventh seed?
Yeah. They are really talented. If you're looking for a dark horse, now they got to win 4 in 4 days. In fact, never before has a team even won 3 in 3 days to get to the championship. 4 and 4 has never been done. Just getting to the championship playing in the opening round.
But this team's got a chance to do it, do you think?
In as wide open as the MVC is this year?
Oh, and if they can pick off Drake tomorrow, then they get the winner of Illinois State, Northern Iowa.
Southern Illinois, you and I. Yeah.
Southern Illinois, right.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then it's Loyola in the final. I mean,
maybe.
They got dudes. They got dudes. This is still Loyola's to win. They're a prohibitive favorite still in my mind.
Well, I love the fact that both of the local schools are on the opposite side of the bracket.
Yes.
That's outstanding. outstanding. And if they can both win tomorrow, then we're guaranteed a spot in the finals, as we said the other day, at least with one of the two in-state schools.
A football note before we welcome in Mark Morehouse from the Cedar Rapids Gazette.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the Big Ten changing around some of their big bowl
the
ties?
Bowls?
Yes.
I love it. You know, the game in Charlotte, the Belt Bowl, I think that would be a good desk. You don't you want to go somewhere you've never been? Whether you're in the media or whether you're a fan of it. I mean, when was the last time? You're never going to go follow, air quote, your Hawkeyes to Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to happen. But now there's that distinct possibility.
Direct flights, correct?
There is a direct flight, yes, into Charlotte. What airline would that be? Is it American?
American, I think.
I think it is American.
Yes.
And Las Vegas getting involved in the mix, too, once the Raiders Stadium opens up. Mm-hmm. We could see that coming a mile away. And
You had that.
Well, it just made sense. Yes. It just made all the sense in the world that they would kick the team for the Mountain West out west. And where did they get? They took the Holiday Bowl slot?
No, they're going a new bowl
in L.A.
L.A.,
right.
Yes, the new stadium when that's open.
Right.
The top team in the Mountain West will take on a Pac-12 team there. The Las Vegas Bowl, then, it'll be Pac-12 versus either SEC or Big Ten over the six-year agreement. Three Big Ten teams and three SEC teams.
You know what this drives home, Trent? The Big Ten bowl ties. Are just, I mean, there's nothing like it, right? Mm-hmm. They're by far have the best. Maybe the SEC's got some good ones too, but the Big Ten bowl ties continue to remain strong. And why wouldn't they?
Yes, they fan bases that are big, that have national brands, that travel,
alumni all over the country in big populated cities.
It's the tie-in that you want. I mean, the SEC, you've heard the stories. Well, we'll travel over the day of the game, maybe stay a night, and that's it. Big Ten people come down there. And they're there for 3, 4, 5 days. That's the winter vacation.
Mm-hmm. And they're the ones wearing shorts when it's 55 degrees. And...
Yes. Guilty.
Yeah. I'll take a time out. Mark Morehouse joins the program next. Reese Morgan will be a big talker. So will Gary Barta, as the media had an opportunity to speak with Gary Barta. Your thoughts real quick before we get to Mark on the five to play five that was floated out there. I like it.
Oh, I love it. Absolutely. No more worrying about red shirts and medical red shirts in 6 years.
And how will the NCAA look at this case? And, you know, will they stick their wet their finger and stick it in the air, see which way the wind's blowing? And just some consistency with the way that they rule on things, and they've never had that in the past. This takes this completely out of their hands. It's wonderful.
And if you want to transfer, you don't have to have a waiver or you don't have to make up a sick uncle.
Right.
You
got to get closer to home.
You just transfer to where you want to go. You go where you want to play. Makes a lot of sense.
It does.
Is super teams going to happen? Probably not.
I think they already happen.
Reed Travis is at Kentucky right now.
Yeah.
He's banged up, but that was an incredible player for Stanford. Guys want to go and they want to play somewhere well, they'll go there.
Alabama's having their junior pro day today. Alabama, junior pro day. Ruggs just ran a 4.2.
Oh,
right.
The rich get richer.
Junior to be. Unbelievable. Mark Morehouse next. Trent and I with you until noon. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 1460, our local five.
Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
Hi, Miller and Con to Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO. A couple of housekeeping items. I just got a text from my friend, we'll talk about Dr. Stephen Fuller in a second, but Leon Emmons, my buddy, Mr. Executive, was out driving around, said wrecks everywhere.
Oh,
be
really?
Be very, very careful. For those of you listening to us in Central Iowa, and I'm assuming that's the case outside of Central Iowa, but certainly in Des Moines. A very, very poor road condition. Speaking of Doc Fuller, he's my dentist. If you're looking for a new dentist or you're new to the area, FullerDental.net is the website, FullerDental.net. You can find Doc Fuller a couple of locations over in Eastern Polk County, East 29th Street in Des Moines, 2822 East 29th Street in Des Moines, and 410 8th Street Southwest in the growing community of Altoona. Let's get Mark Morehouse in here, Cedar Rapids Gazette. What's the weather like in your part of Iowa, Mark? Are you getting what we are getting, snow and just miserable road conditions?
Not yet. I think it's going to start snowing here pretty soon. And so far, so good, though. It sounds bad there. It's just winter ever going to end.
I don't think so.
Doesn't feel that way.
No, it certainly does. Hey, I want to talk a little hockey. Trent, don't look at me like that before we get into Reese Morgan, etc.
Take my nap.
How about the Carolina Hurricanes putting on the throwbacks and wearing the Hartford Whaler unis? What a great uniform.
You pulled me back in when you started bringing up uniforms, though.
That gets your attention?
Oh, yes. And I used to play a little bit and I wore a Hartford jersey that was dark blue and had that beautiful logo, and but that green, coming out in that green was excellent. Next thing you know, they'll be playing brass bonanza for goals, and the Whaler. I bring that back more often, Carolina, because mostly I don't pay attention to you.
Right. I'm with you. But certainly the hockey world did the other night. They're actually a pretty good team, but we'll save that for another day. So let's get into the news from yesterday. And I want to bring up Gary Barden, your piece you wrote in, I want to say Wednesday, Cedar Rapids Gazette. It's online at gazette.com/sports under Mark's feed. Reese Morgan. The comments on Twitter by his former players, these coach, whether they reached the NFL or just played 4 years and went on to have real jobs. When you see the impact that he made in their lives, obviously it's a job well done. Reese Morgan walking away after 19 years.
One thing that I think fans need to realize about Reese Morgan is he was in charge of walk-ons for a long, long time. And most Iowa walk-ons come from Iowa. And then beyond that, most of them come from a reasonable drive, say Wisconsin, Minnesota, maybe Illinois a few. But mostly they're from Iowa, and most of them were routed through Reese Morgan. So for a long time in the 2000s, Morgan was responsible for, I want to say, as much as 25% of Iowa's roster.
Wow.
I mean, between players he recruited and players who were walk-ons. That's a pretty amazing, that's a huge depth. And when you were a Reese Morgan guy, you had an advocate for you. You had a guy who you were never just a number to him, never just a guy, a spot in the depth chart. You were a guy that he valued. You were a person he wanted to get to know. And I think when walk-ons come here, they need that. They need that sort of advocate in their corner just to kind of keep them going, because it's not easy work. And maybe to find the guys who do break through a little bit. And Morgan Shepherd had so many careers. And like I said, just listening and talking to him and over the years. I mean, it wasn't just he didn't just bring you to the University of Iowa. He made sure that you made it through the University of Iowa the best he could. And I think that's what you're seeing. I think you're seeing that players react to what Reese meant to them. Moving forward, I have to think it'd have to be somebody from the state of Iowa, and I'm not sure. You know, in my time, Iowa has hired two coaches from the high school ranks, Reese Morgan and Barry Alvarez. I think you almost have to go that route, and I wouldn't be shocked to see Tom Wilson get some run.
Wow.
Because it makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense. I think he's around the same age that Reese Morgan was when he came to Iowa back in 2000. I think he's proven everything he needs to prove in the high school level.
Mm-hmm. Ferentz
is not afraid. I mean, he showed in 2000 when he hired Reese Morgan, and he's not afraid to go that way. So Iowa wants to be strong in Iowa. Iowa needs a strong voice for the preponderance of walk-ons who come from Iowa. But also, if you look at the shifting demographics of Iowa, sure, Iowa City is a neat place. The most vibrant and growing place in Iowa is Des Moines. And I think having a guy who's connected to Des Moines, that'd be a pretty smart move for Iowa.
Are you hearing those whispers? Because that's quite a name to throw out there, Mark Morehouse. I mean,
that's just me trying to do math.
Makes sense.
He's got a college background. He was a grad assistant at Ball State before he went back to, I think, Dyke, New Hartford.
He
took them to the state championship game.
Year after year, I think.
And a moribund program before he got there. And, of course, what he's done here at Dowling Catholic. It's a great name.
Yeah.
I'm going to put you on the spot, though. Back to Reese for a moment. Many success stories. Mark Morehouse, what is the best of the success stories from Reese Morgan? The last-minute guys, the guys that he plucked out of nowhere.
So many.
Mm-hmm.
I would say I'm going to go past Chad Greenway, which says says a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I'm not going to go far from that. Josie Jewell was a guy who was headed mm-hmm. to Luther.
Yeah.
Not only did Reese Morgan have to convince the Iowa coaching staff, mainly Kirk Ferentz, I think, although no one's ever come clean who didn't really want Josie around, because, of course, now that would look pretty bad.
Yes.
But Josie, he was headed to Luther, and he was kind of in that mindset. And part of it wasn't just Morgan convincing Iowa coaches that they needed Josie Jewell. It was a little bit convincing Josie Jewell that he belonged to the University of Iowa.
Really?
And wow, he nailed that, didn't he? Josie ended up being one of the best linebackers to come through the program, and Reese Morgan was a guy who was passionately trying to convince the family that you belong here, and I will find you a scholarship. And boom and boom and boom. He hit on all three. That's one I go to. Maybe there's a little recency effect there.
Mm-hmm.
Another one I throw out is when they found Marshall Yanda.
Jeez.
He was basically making hamburgers in a small apartment up in Mason City.
Now he's making pancakes, Mark.
Huh? Where's the rim shot? I needed that one ready.
It was a bunch of guys. Basically, he found a tough guy. He found a rough rider out in the middle of nowhere.
Mm.
And look how that hit. I mean, just look how that hit. I mean, I remember talking to Marshall Yon and his folks, his mom, before he, you know, when he became a starter at Iowa. When he was finished with high school, he wasn't even going to go to college because he knew he had, you know, had some academic deficiencies, and he ends up at NIAC, and, you know, Iowa finds something there. Reese Morgan finds the toughness and puts that to work, and my goodness, I mean, that's a Hall of Fame football career plucked from a Hall of Fame football coach.
Mark Morehouse, Cedar Rapids Gazette. Brandon Myers on that list?
He certainly. I mean, a heck of an NFL career, and the guy who, you know, when he was young at Iowa, I kind of ran into him at a Drake basketball game, and of course, you know, I always think the worst, and I think, is he going to just transfer to Drake and play basketball? Because it was kind of like on that line. And it didn't happen for Brandon Myers right away at Iowa. It took some time, and man, when it hit, and certainly Brandon's on that list.
Let me go back to your column from Wednesday night, Cedar Rapids Gazette, was where you can read Mark and Michael Loss making his way to Madison to cover Wisconsin and Iowa tonight. The five to play five, and apparently, according to Gary Barta, it's picking up some momentum. I think that would be wonderful. It takes the NCAA there. Rulings in a lot of areas completely off the table, Mark, because there's going to be some consistency there, and you can't say consistency in the NCAA in the same sentence very often. What are the chances of this happening, do you think?
It's hard to gauge that. I would say, just on a Barnes characterization, I'd say at least 50-50, maybe. But I see the logic. It takes out, you know, there's no more redshirting. There's no more medical waivers. There's no more 6 years. There's no more, you know, graduate transfers. Obviously, I don't think would be affected by this. I think that rule still sticks. But there's, now, I think the point Barta makes is there's so much litigation and there's so much attack on rulings now
right.
that the waivers are just piling up. And I think that they want it. I think the NCAA or I think, conferences want to get away from that, and they want to streamline it a little bit. They want to make sure that that every time a player moves, that it's not a 6-month court case. So I think the 5 years to play five totally short circuits that and use it judiciously. You know, take your redshirt year. If you get hurt, well, that counts as one of your 5 years. Sorry, and there's no getting that back. So 5 years to play five. I think it's a clean. It's a smart.
Mm-hmm.
Does a guy play 5 years? Maybe. I don't know. And then then there's question about record books and all that kind of
right.
thing. I think there'd probably be a different era, and I think you'd have to asterisk it up. But I think it should move to something where players aren't, you know, Tate Martell isn't lawyering up to get that to be eligible immediately. I think there's a million of those going on right now, and that's the last thing anybody wants.
Jim Delaney, once he does walk away, how will you remember his impact on the Big Ten and college athletics overall?
Big Ten Network was a big part of it, and television, and just the television contracts that Jim concocted over his years as the Big Ten commissioner. amazing. I think the league could now use a little more of a football voice, and I think that's got to be kind of sewn into the next round. I would say the Northwestern Athletics Director, Jim Phillips, is probably a good candidate.
Mm-hmm.
My two candidates that I threw up in our podcast, Bob Bolsby and Barry Alvarez, probably not happening, but interesting nonetheless. But I do think next commissioner has to have a little bit of a lean for football. But Delaney's impact on college sports, obviously, I think speaks for itself. He still values the student part of student athlete, and I know a lot of Big Ten fans kind of roll their eyes at that, but that is very important. And the one thing I've learned in the last few days, Delaney is kind of the extension of what the presidents and chancellors want. So the commissioner does have bosses. He's not right. A unilaterally leader. He is listening to the presidents. He is doing their bidding. And I think that relationship, I think that makes who the next commissioner is maybe somebody we've never heard of, because the presidents are going to want somebody who listens and who plugs in their ideas the way they want them plugged in.
Mark Morehouse joining us, Cedar Rapids Gazette. Mark, one final thing, Bulls changing up again in future years. Your last chance coming up this year at the Holiday Bowl, it sounds like?
Yeah, and the Holiday Bowl, and we were able to ask Barta some about Brett McMurphy's report in the stadium about Big Ten Bowls. He didn't confirm or deny anything.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't confirm or deny anything, but it does sound like the Holiday Bowl is a goner. Music City sounds like it's coming in full for the Big Ten, which I think makes a lot of sense. Las Vegas Bowl coming in, I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
For the Big Ten. Beyond that, I wouldn't be shocked. Right now there's nothing on the board for a Big Ten, Big 12. Bowl game, I think that's kind of a mistake, and
mm-hmm.
It sounds like there might be something coming along that fills that void.
What city would that be in, Mark? Any idea?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't think the Alamo Bowl. I think the Alamo Bowl is very, very happy
yep.
with what it has, and it should be. It's become a premier bowl without
mm-hmm.
the Big Ten. I don't know. Probably something to doubt.
St. Louis?
You know, that's going to be one of our next podcasts with the Athletic Scott Doctrine. We're probably gonna try to play CEO for a St. Louis Bowl, and we're probably gonna really try to do it and just pitch it and kind of tape it up and map it out to where, okay, there's a path for this, and maybe it'll be fun, maybe it would stick, maybe they name it the On Iowa Bowl. I don't know, but I'm just kidding. But I do think that's so painfully logical and obvious that someone's got to reach that conclusion, right, Ken?
Indeed, Mark Morehouse will be listening On Iowa podcast. When will that drop?
Hopefully today.
Well, good stuff. Very timely. Mark, thank you. Appreciate catching up with you. It's almost that time. We'll be doing this on a weekly basis. Spring football starts when?
No date set yet. I would be, I think in the next 2 weeks, coaches will be talking and players will be hitting each other. And Ken, I'm going to adopt the Calgary Flames this playoff period. The Blackhawks are they're out. So I think, Ken, the Flames have not been relevant for a long time.
Nope.
I'm Team Johnny Hockey. He played in Dubuque for
yes, he
day.
Did. Johnny Goodrow, he did. So you're not jumping on my Jets bandwagon. There's room. There's a lot of us jumping off.
I tried it last year and ended up disappointed. But Jets are my second favorite. This deal, so let's have some fun there.
Good stuff. Thank you, Mark. We'll talk to you in the weeks to come.
Take care.
Appreciate it. Mark Morehouse, Cedar Rapids Gazette. Look, I don't know if Tom Wilson's going to happen.
It's a great theory.
It's a great name. I'm already getting it shot down on my text messages.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Is it coming from Dowling people that don't want to see it happen?
An Iowa State person.
They don't want to see
it happen. No, I don't think I really don't have an opinion either way on that. But a guy who knows Tom pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, we'll see. It's a great name. I love
yes.
when, that's thinking outside the box. I'm all for that. And look what he's done.
Six straight.
It's crazy. Gary Swenson going to shed a tear? Jerry Pezzetti going to shed a tear? Carlson going to shed a tear? You know where I'm going.
They'll help him pack.
Absolutely. The impact that he's had over there.
They'll rent the truck.
Yeah. Great name. Not sure it's going to happen. Probably won't, but appreciate that. Andrew Logue is with us next. We're going to do a little Kansas City Royals. Okay?
Sal Perez.
Yeah, it's brutal, Trent. Brutal. Brutal. Out for the year. We'll do that. I want to pick his brain on the NL. So this race, this division, my God.
It's incredibly
good.
See
what the Cardinals are doing and their pitching staff?
Mm-hmm.
That Flaherty, I'm telling you, this kid is a star.
Waka bounce back?
Maybe.
The Elma kid?
Reyes?
Yes.
He towed the rubber the other day?
Uh-huh.
We'll do some baseball conversation with Andrew Logue. It's Miller and Condon. We're on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460.
Streaming live from coast to coast on iHeartRadio, this is 1460 KXNO.
Hi, Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO. Final segment before we get out of here. Put Trent's feet to the fire, see which way he's leaning tonight in Madison, Iowa, and Wisconsin. Wisconsin, what, 7.5?
Down to 6.5.
The smart money's coming in, perhaps.
Oh, maybe people are looking at my pick over at sportsbetcompany.com.
So you're moving the line. You've got that much power. Is that
80% last weekend, Miller.
Were you
80%.
Really? Coming off of what?
I was 80% last week.
Andrew Logue joins us as we throw the baseball around the diamond a little bit. Boy, Royals fans, Andrew, first of all, good to talk to you as always. What
sure.
A blow, huh? I mean, the face of that franchise, you know, Alex Gordon certainly gets some love, but
yeah.
Salvador Perez has been the guy. Danny Duffy, very popular as well. Not having Salvi for the entire year, which was probably going to be a tough year to begin with. Ouch.
It was a gut punch. And it was a gut punch because he, as you said, he's not only the face of the franchise and the most likable Royal since maybe Frank White in the 80s, but he's just, he's a guy, he's approaching several little club all-time 10 lists and the six-time All-Star, and he's all this. And he was going to be kind of your nostalgic link to an entire rest of a team that's all going to be second and third-year players, or you're trying to find out if they can even succeed at the major league level. So it doesn't change what the season was always going to be about, but it's just such a void of, that guy you kind of hang your hat on, kind of, you know, go to the ballpark to see him. You mentioned Alex Gordon, but he's in this odd spot. He's his last year of his contract, which he has not played particularly well, at least hitting well. He's a good defensive player. Danny Duffy's has had off-field issues, so Salvi was kind of your one link, and to lose him before you even play a game is just brutal.
It really is, and this guy, his meaning to the team, not just what he does on the field, but as a leader and just all those components.
The water bucket after wins.
Yes, yeah. Now there's also the component, and Andrew, we've talked about this before, how he was used. Just the sheer number of miles on those knees, on that leg throughout the years. He was... Even when he was 26 years old, 24 or 25, he was old because of those miles that were put on him. Was it a missed opportunity when his value was so high? I understand he was the face of the Royals, but you're going through a rebuild. Did they miss a window to trade him away?
Well, first off, let's make clear, after this year, he'll have two more years at his contract, and he's very affordable. So this isn't a guy who's draining your budget. By the way, if he comes back next year and plays well for half the season, they might trade him. I think the Royals have always wanted him to be what George Brett and Frank White were in the 80s, what Derek Thomas was to the Chiefs of the 90s. I think they want him to be that guy who's a lifetime Royal.
Cornerstone. Yep.
The guy, they might retire his jersey number at some point. And I think they see value in that. Did they miss a number? Maybe. You know, go to your youth. I believe in 2015, if I remember right, he caught more games than any catcher in baseball history that season. But he won two pennants in a World Series, and isn't that your ultimate goal?
Absolutely. Yeah, no doubt about that. Well, trying to find some silver linings. I used to love watching Kane patrol center field at the K. I mean, he's run down a lot of balls. So can Billy Hamilton. Going to be fun to watch him once that motor gets going. Boy, oh boy, he can close some ground. He's going to run down some balls that may normally have dropped in.
Well, they've got Brett Phillips. We haven't talked Soler, not a great defender, but a potential hitter, probably a DH. Here's the thing. You can't steal first, guys.
It's true.
and what is Billy Hamilton's lifetime on base percentage? Below 300, I think. So that's, I hear all these outfielders, and I'm starting to be a little scared. You know, they used to say if you have two quarterbacks, you have none. Mm. If you have five outfielders, and you don't know who your guy is, do you have any? Obviously, Billy Hamilton will be the starter, and I do think
He has potential, but he's got to show me something first. I mean, you got to get on base. Yeah. He does. With him and Mondesi and Merrifield, it could be fun, but you got to find a way to get on base.
It's all about the rebuilding project, stocking up that farm system and making another run. How far along are they in stocking up the farm system? Made a lot of trades leading to those pennants that you talked about. It took a lot out of the organization. How far along are they in the rebuild?
So last year, it was pretty consensus. They were about 29th or 30th, you know, for minor league system. This year, after the draft, remember they got all those pitchers because of compensation picks. This year, they'll have the number two pick overall, which means two in like the top 50 or 60. So here's the thing. They are maybe, you know, Baseball America, I think, has a 16th, which I think is a little high, and others have them about 24. I'd say they've gone from about 30 to about 20 in 1 year, and I think that's good progress. I think they've clearly done some things to reload. You start seeing minor league all-stars and young players, and they're in Lexington. They're a long way from the majors, but I think they did a really nice job for 1 year. Obviously, it's going to take two or three more.
Mm-hmm. Andrew Logue talking a little baseball. Andrew, let's switch to the National League in the Central Division. And, you know, most people assume, well, it's the Cubs and it's the Brewers, and, boy, it's going to be a hell of a race. You know, this Cardinal team, Jack Flaherty, I think, is baseball's, one of baseball's next great name pitchers. I really do. I think he's got a chance to be one of the best in the game. He's still very young, but I think he is the successor to, went to, from Carpenter to Wainwright, and I think it's going to go from Wainwright to Flaherty. We'll see if I'm right. Jordan Hicks throws 102 miles an hour. He's their closer. Their everyday lineup. I like this kid Bader when he gets his opportunity. Carpenter, Ozuna, now Goldschmidt comes over for the Diamondbacks. This Cardinal team, boy, oh boy, I don't think it's a two-team race. I think it's a minimum of three, and do not sleep on the Redbirds.
I agree. First off, you mentioned Goldschmidt. I think they tried to, didn't they get Andrew Miller, too?
Yes, they did.
So they tried to help. Now, Miller struggled mightily a little bit late last year. Here's the only thing is how, you know, they always say nothing's more meaningless than, you got this as a Royals fan last year, it's September results. And the Cardinals, after they fired Matheny, just took off.
Mm-hmm.
But how real is it? And I think it is real, but you're always a little cautious. You know what I mean? When it's like, well, they were so good. How much of that was just certain analytics and all were bound to fall their favor, but it's going to even out over 162 games. I do think the Cardinals in it. I think the Cubs are like this weird X factor. Didn't Pecota only have the Cubs for like 79
yep.
wins? And others are thinking, oh, they'll win it. Chris Bryant kind of dropped the last couple years. And then, you know, the Brewers won it last year. And, you know, the Brewers actually went out and they bolstered themselves. You know, they got Grandal and catcher. And starting pitching is always a thing with them. And their bullpen with Hader was so good.
Oh, my.
But you know what? Bullpen guys are kind of volatile, too. You know, all it takes is one tweak and suddenly you got some holes in that bullpen. Can he repeat that? Can he, you know? So I don't know. I agree. And then the Reds, here's the only thing about the Reds. You know, they got Puig. He's kind of a little, we don't know, but you know what I mean? He,
mm-hmm.
Didn't I read a quote from him? He said, this year I'm trying. Well, what was he doing with the right. Dodgers all those other years,
right.
You know? So I agree. And it's a, maybe the most fascinating division. I will say this. I'm also intrigued by the NL West because do the Padres finally flip a switch and the Dodgers have lost some? You know, the Diamondbacks and Rockies. I think the West is interesting, but the NL Central is loaded.
It is. It's going to be an incredible race. And baseball last year, in a way, was kind of boring. You had the gap between the haves and the have-nots. Is that what baseball is now in 2019 and going forward?
So we didn't have that kind of team that came out of nowhere, like the Twins from 2 years. Is that what you're saying?
Well, and even with that, Twins winning a World Series.
Right, right.
It's this elite of the elite, mm-hmm. and then everybody else. Is that the direction we're heading, Andrew?
I think we're getting to the point where baseball is going to be full of cycles. Like I said, the Dodgers are a little less. We kind of think what they are. I think the Indians, I think they're still going to win the Central, but they're a little less. But meanwhile, we forget a few years ago, it was the Red Sox that weren't very good.
Mm-hmm.
They were loading up. Now they're a powerhouse. The Astros, obviously. I think you're in a team of cycles, in an era of cycles, because long-term contracts. You're not locking guys up for 5 years. So when you have a team, that's who they are for 7 years. So I think it's going to be cycles. But in other words, I think the have and have not will change, but I don't know that you're going to have sort of that wonderful little 20 teams still in it in August kind of situation, because some teams, when they think they can't compete, they're going to hit that restart button a lot quicker than they ever would have 15 years ago.
Well, the Braves were that team that on everybody's minds, and then they went away, and then lo and behold, last year, they might be that team, Trent, that came from out of nowhere. They won the East daylight, yeah. If memory serves. Hey, Andrew, last thing for you. Jayhawks, the streak ends at 14. I know probably we didn't give it enough love, enough run, because everybody wanted to see it end. But man, oh man, what a remarkable number. It'll never be done again, Andrew Logue. I really, truly believe that.
You know what? It was funny. So you could see it coming a couple weeks ago, right?
Sure.
Just another great Kansas team. And you always wonder what would be the reaction. And it was sentimentality. It was like when you're younger, your best friend gets married. You have all these great memories, but you know it'll never be the same again. And that's kind of what it felt like. People all Wednesday night texting and all, what was your favorite moment of the streak? And that's sort of, it wasn't an anger,
right.
Although truth be told, when arch rival Kansas State is one of the teams that ends it, I'm sure that perturbs a few people. But it was sentimentality and nostalgia. I was a weird reaction when the streak finally ended.
No doubt. Andrew Logue, look forward to talking a whole bunch of baseball with you as it gets closer and closer. Thanks for coming on, as always.
Thank you, guys.
Good to talk to Andrew Logue, former Des Moines Register sports reporter, as he joins us here in our final segment. All right, Trent Condon.
Yes.
Got a couple of minutes left before we get out of here. Of course, Murph and Andy today at 2, the Fanatics at 4. The Morning Rush will start it all over again tomorrow at 6 on a Friday. A week from today will be probably 10 minutes of game time into Baylor and Iowa State.
Oh, you already got to figure it out.
They're locked in at 11:30 on Thursday morning. Locked in.
Yes.
4-5 game.
How about Oklahoma State last night?
Yeah.
How about Northwestern
coming up and winning a game last night? How about West Virginia? but tonight, Wisconsin and Iowa. Mm-hmm. Iowa, we both feel, not playing very well right now.
Been saying it for a month.
Yep. Even though they've had a couple of improbable wins that have kind of made some opinions kind of sway off of that.
Mm-hmm.
They clouded the issue a little. Right. Tonight. Senior night. It's Wisconsin. Playing for a double bye to keep mm-hmm. that alive. Lots to play for. It's senior night. They've got some guys, as we know. One of them, Ethan Happ, is one of the all-time greats who will say goodbye to the Kohl Center and to the Badger home standing base for the final time. What happens?
Wisconsin isn't playing very well themselves. And we get sometimes mired in just looking at the one side of things.
Because who did they beat? But Penn, they just come off a win over Penn State.
At home.
Penn State, okay, but Penn State.
But at home.
All right.
They were still playing for a double by then.
Penn State, sneaky good.
They're all right. They're all right.
Iowa are you? You're well. Leaning Iowa's. Why is the kind of feeling I'm getting right now?
I was inside that number. I hope people jumped aboard when it was 7.5 last night.
Uh huh.
Speaking of betting, so I got West Virginia when it came out the night before at 8.5.
Mm-hmm. What did it go off at?
5.
Right.
I had a great middling opportunity. Right. Iowa State wins by 6, 7, or 8.
Did
I got
you
a double
do that?
Win.
Yeah.
Just stay with your original bet. Mm-hmm. Trying to double.
Trent, they were never in it. It never looked like that bet had a chance.
Well, what is 2020 or 2019? They had the lead.
And then it was 30-20 in the blink of an eye.
It was. And
it was
37-22.
And Rome had to call timeout.
And then I took it a step further, and they got it to 15.
Got it to 11 at one point?
They did, but at 15, I said, I'm taking a shot here.
Yeah.
Plus 950 with 12 minutes left. I'm taking a shot. So I ended up losing overall. If I would have just stuck with my original bet, would have been fine. But no. You keep going. It's all right.
All right.
I'm going with the Hawkeyes. Tonight.
Who stands out for the Hawkeyes? Who has a good game tonight for Iowa?
Isaiah Moss gets back right track.
He's due.
Oh, he is due. Get some shots going.
Mm-hmm.
A little hack a hap. They get that. Make him go to the free throw line. He's 3 of 11. And Iowa keeps it close and has a chance going into the last night.
I'll give you a bench player that if I was going to stay in this thing and maybe pick this thing off. Creener.
The big man.
I like his game.
There's a couple of big guys you got to deal with the Badgers.
Yeah, that's for sure. Reavers, uh-huh. Happ, some players there, no doubt about that. Trent and I will recap that tomorrow. We'll do Iowa and Iowa State. We'll give away some barbecue. We look forward to a Friday. Look forward to you joining us tomorrow with 10. As mentioned, Murph and Andy next. Fanatics at 4. Rush tomorrow morning. Talk to you tomorrow. 1460 KXNO.